This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, regular listeners may recall that around this time of year when it gets towards Rosh Hashanah, in Israel they have this tendency to begin to assess things of the last year. What was done over the last year and what was not. And one of the things that they like to talk about is the names of children who were born since last year and what the most popular names are. And this is a very fascinating event that we're seeing in terms of names, because we're seeing a very, very strong influence with boys' names being influenced by the events of the war. And those people who were listening in during the period of the war with Iran in June will recall that the name that was given to that operation was Am Kalavi, Rising Lion. That was the operation that was given. And resulting from that, the most popular boy's name over the last year is Lavi. Exactly from the name of the operation.
Wow.
It's also interesting that the second most popular boy's name is Ariel.
Lion.
Which represents Ariel Bibas.
Oh, and Ariel Bibas, so many, of course. Yes.
Ariel Bibas, and so many people have decided to name their children in honor of Ariel Bibas, that baby, the little redhead boy who was murdered in Gaza. And so that is the way the things have worked out. So just to run over very, very quickly, the most popular boys' names in the Jewish sector over the last year, Lavi is top of the list, Ariel is second. And then some classics, David, Raphael, Uri, Yehuda, Eliyah, Ari, Eitan, and Michael. Those were the most popular boys' names over the last year. On the girls' side, Abigail, Tamar, Libby, Yael, Sarah, Ella, Noah, Leah, Ayala, and Esther. A nice mix of some of the biblical names coming through. So those were the most popular boys and girls' names in the Jewish sector. It will come as no surprise that the most popular boy's name across all Israelis was Muhammad. Still in top position and has been for a number of years.
Very, very interesting. Prime Minister Netanyahu has come under attack for some of his comments. What were they? What was problematic that he said?
Well, he spoke the day before yesterday about Israel's kind of isolation in the world, particularly on an economic level, saying that Israel needed to become more self-sufficient. And he used the word Sparta to try to compare what he thinks Israel should be moving forward. Now, Sparta was, of course, the Greek town that was very, very isolated, militarily extremely strong, but isolated and had to become extremely self-sufficient. And that was what Prime Minister Netanyahu compared Israel to. Unfortunately, his remarks were taken very, very negatively indeed in the overall economy. And we saw the stock exchange go down as a result of that. We saw the shekel weaken as a result of that, all very, very suddenly and very quickly, unexpectedly, as a result of these strange comments that he made. Now he's come out saying, well, what he really wanted to insinuate or really wanted to reflect is that Israel needs to become more self-sufficient in the military industry area. We need to be more self-reliant on our ability to provide ourselves with weaponry, with arms, with new technology that we can use to protect ourselves and, if necessary, to use to attack our enemies. So he tried to kind of very, very elegantly smooth over the damage that he did the day before, when he described how isolated Israel is on the world stage and how we are increasingly boycotted and we are increasingly under scrutiny, with many countries starting to become much stricter about allowing their citizens to buy our products, and perhaps even more importantly than that, selling us military equipment that we desperately need at this time. And he was happy to kind of discuss that in the open, as a result of which damage was done to the economy. So he tried to pull things back. My own view is, I mean, and what the Prime Minister said when he tried to rectify things was, I think, a very true statement and a very accurate one, which is that Israel's products are wanted and needed around the world. When you start digging deeply into the products that you're using, the medications that you're using, so many things that you just take for granted in your day-to-day life, and you start to understand that somewhere within the makeup of those products, within the research that was done, within the development, within the technology, there is Israeli know-how, there are Israeli elements, there are Israeli bits and pieces that go in to build that. Every phone that you use has Israeli technology built into it. There are almost no phones around these days that don't have some element of Israeli technology included. The use of Israeli medication and medical procedures is extremely widespread, whether it be stents, whether it be the special tablets with the cameras that are used to examine people's digestive systems and things like that, whether it be some of the generic medications that many of us are using because the patented medications are so expensive. The generics are used to bring down the price once they come out of their patent period, all that kind of stuff. There's so much Israeli technology and know-how built into all of this that I think if people were to be very, very strict and say absolutely no Israeli technology at all, I think it would impact almost on every country and every citizen around the world. So the Prime Minister wanted to point that out, and I think it's an accurate statement to make, that if you really wanted to cut everything else, it would do more damage to the world at large than it would do to Israel, because in a sense, many of those developments have been in the history and might not necessarily be a substantial part of today's economy in Israel. Having said all of that, we are, of course, only 10 million people, and to the extent that we're producing amazing things, we won't be able to sell those more broadly, and we won't be able to prop our economy up if we don't have the ability to sell our goods and services, our products, our technology, our know-how abroad. And it's important for us just to do whatever we can right now, weather the storm in order to get through what is an unbelievably difficult period, with so many people being so sensitive about everything that relates to Israel. So I think the Prime Minister would have done better to take some counsel before saying the words that he said, even if much of what he said is probably accurate and does reflect a certain situation. But his emphasis about becoming more militarily self-sufficient, I think, is very profound and deserves a lot of thought and consideration and action in the near future.
Absolutely. It's a very, very real issue. Let's talk about another real issue, which is the UN published a report that claims a genocide is underway in Gaza. What implications does that have?
Well, even though this United Nations independent International Commission of Inquiry on the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem and Israel, that's the name of the committee that has published this report, and it comes as no surprise to many of us that the chairperson of this three-person committee is Navi Pillay, who comes with anti-Semitic credentials from a very, very long time, over many, many years. And they are the ones who have produced this report, and they've tried to be very clinical about how they go about assessing whether a genocide has taken place. And what they've concluded is that Israel has carried out 4 out of the 5 genocidal acts that were defined by the 1948 Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. So what they've said is that the 4 genocidal acts that Israel has carried out are the following: killing, causing serious bodily or mental harm, deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about the destruction of the Palestinians in whole or in part, and imposing measures intended to prevent births. Those are the 4 acts that are considered to be genocidal acts. Now, there is little doubt that there has been killing, that people have been killed. The fact that they mostly happen to be terrorists, and the fact that it happens to be one of the best ratios of civilians to combatants in any war in the history of mankind has been set to one side for a moment. But killing, there certainly has been, and it would be difficult to argue that. Causing serious bodily or mental harm, sure. War causes serious bodily or mental harm. There's no doubt about that. Where I have an issue are on the next two, which are deliberately inflicting conditions of life calculated to bring about the destruction of the Palestinians. So that is absolute rubbish. There is nothing that has been done which has been calculated to bring about the destruction of the Palestinians. On the contrary, Israel has much evidence to show that there have been major efforts to preserve life, not to destroy the Palestinians, but to move civilians away from combat zones and to try and preserve life. Because if Israel wanted to really destroy the Palestinians, that wouldn't have taken 711 days. That would have taken a week or two, and it would have been taken care of and done and dusted. But the fact that this goes on for now 711 and now 712 days that we are on today is exactly evidence to bring to show that that statement is entirely untrue. The last statement, which they found to be true, was the one which they've said is imposing measures intended to prevent births. And the evidence that they brought for that were the fact that certain fertility clinics in the Gaza Strip had suffered destruction or damage as a result of the war. And therefore, according to this committee, those are measures which are intended to prevent births. Now, all of our listeners are thinking people, and you guys will all draw your own conclusions about how accurate you think those conclusions are from this committee. But I would suggest that it's a really inaccurate. The problem is that once a United Nations committee has made a statement, even if it is a joke of a committee, as this particular committee really is, that somehow has resonance and is used in many, many cases to say, well, the United Nations have said that there are genocidal acts going on, so it must be right. There is a certain credibility that's brought because it comes under the banner of the United Nations, even though some of these United Nations committees and bodies are really an absolute joke and have really no credibility. But unfortunately, we can't escape from this particular fact, as much as we feel that its conclusions are very, very unjustified and do not follow what this act was intended to combat. But nonetheless, it is what it is. And unfortunately, it's just another obstacle that we need to confront right now. And I suppose the question is there much value in trying to fight this, in trying to put out public relations which will be contrary to show why this report is untrue? I'm not sure. It's all time and money, and the question is what value that will bring, and whether people will actually even take any notice of it, because as I've said so many times, we all just follow the narrative that we want to follow. And whenever you hear something which contradicts that, then you have some way of somehow explaining why that's not true.
Yeah, it's such a difficult and horrific one, because we know that Navi Pillay has always had an anti-Israel bias. They were always going to find this. The question is, of course, what happens to credibility at the United Nations? Because when you start to read reports about how inaccurate this document is, it certainly doesn't do them any favors either.
Well, I think what's quite interesting, having said, members of this committee have also resigned their positions on the committee. I don't know what we need to conclude about that, but it just is a very fascinating situation that they find themselves in.
It is indeed. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning as we continue these discussions and the Israel Report at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.